To Acts chapter 22, Acts 22, and we're going to read there from verse 17. What I want to do this morning is talk to you about the subject of Gentile salvation. And I want us to look at this in relation to Gentile salvation today and Gentile salvation in time past. In Acts chapter 22, in verse 17, the Bible says, it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem. By the way, let me say here, this is an account of Paul's conversion. There's three accounts in the book of Acts of Paul's conversion experience. The first, of course, is Acts 9. And then he gives an account here in Acts 22, and then he gives one before King Agrippa in Acts 26. They're not all, they don't all say exactly the same things, but they're all about the same event. In verse 17 it says, it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consented unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Go, if you will, over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Well, we've got a lot of information here I want to cover, but I'm going to try to do it as slowly as possible. And if you don't get all the scriptures and so forth, of course, it's on the internet. It's also on CD. And I want to go, but I'll try to go as slow as possible, but we do have a lot to cover. Romans 11, verse 13, Paul writing to the church at Rome says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And then in Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, verse 16, Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, one of the foundational truths in relation to rightly dividing the word of truth is that we see and understand and acknowledge the fact that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Said so twice here in the book of Romans, in Acts 22 and Acts 26, Acts 9, 22 and 26, the Lord tells Paul that he's going to be a minister to the Gentiles. And so we see that God saved the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 for a specific purpose. And that is an apostleship to a body of people called Gentiles. Now, in talking about that, and we make that statement a lot, Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles and so forth. Sometimes when people are newly introduced to what we believe, they get the idea, and sometimes it's because of what is taught in error, but sometimes people get the idea that Gentiles were not being saved prior to the Apostle Paul. Because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And so if he wasn't saved, Acts chapter 9, was there Gentile salvation prior to that? Well, certainly there was, but what we want to do today is look at that and see how that differs. And here in Romans chapter 15, while we're here, it's interesting the distinction that Paul makes in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Up in verse 7, verse 8, he says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, that's Jews, for the truth of God to confirm in the promises made unto the fathers. People say, well, where did Gentiles come from to begin with? Well, the first time you'll find them mentioned is in Genesis chapter 10, just before the account of the Tower of Babel. And you'll find there they're mentioned in relation to the sons of Noah and their generations and so forth. In Genesis chapter 12, you find that God calls out Abram, tells him he's going to make a great nation of him, and eventually we see that that nation is called Israel, and the people are called Jewish people, Jews. And so from that time forward, you have a distinction between Gentile and Jews. God told Abraham, I'm going to make of thee a great nation, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those that bless you. And through that line of Abraham's seed was to come the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem the nation Israel. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find that Christ does come. The Bible says he came unto his own, that being Israel, Jews, but his own received him not. We see that he came for 3 years. He ministered among Israel, among the people, and he was rejected and put to death. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he again met with the 12 disciples. They replaced Judas with Matthias eventually, but he met with the 11 for 40 days and taught them and told them really nothing new from what he had told them before, other than the fact that they were to do that which he taught them to do, and that was to preach baptism of repentance and baptism for remission and repentance of sins. He told them that in Luke 24, and that's exactly what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. So, in Acts 9, Paul is saved, and God sends him to the Gentiles, as we just read in Romans chapter 13, or Romans 11, Romans 15, and also in Acts chapter 22. So, what we want to look at then is the Gentile salvation that came through the Apostle Paul as compared to the Gentile salvation that was available when Israel was in their relationship with God Almighty. And when I say their relationship, as His chosen people. You understand that today, and this is very important to understand, Israel, they are not God's people today. They will be yet in the future. He made a promise to them. He will yet fulfill that promise. But today, they are, as Hosea says, lo am I. That is, not God's people. When God formed the church, the body of Christ, and began to save people by grace through faith, that Israel fell throughout the book of Acts. He's not cast away, but they're fallen. And he said that through their fall, salvation was to come to the Gentiles. Today, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. But there was a distinction, starting with Abraham. There was a distinction when the Apostle Paul was saved, and Paul was sent as the Apostle of the Gentiles. Now, I want you to, first of all, we want to confirm the fact in our minds that salvation has always been available to Gentile people. Go back, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. We talk about the mystery. We talk about the prophetic program versus the mystery program. The mystery program has to do with that which was not in prophecy. And so to say that Gentile salvation is the mystery program is an error, because Gentile salvation was part of the prophetic program. In Isaiah chapter 60, there in verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy light. Of thy rising. He said the Gentiles are going to come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. In other words, through the rise of Israel, there was going to be salvation to the Gentiles. As it turned out, it was through the fall of Israel that salvation came to us in the dispensation of the grace of God. Look, if you will, over in Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. If you can't find it, go to Matthew and then go back a few pages. Malachi chapter 1. In Malachi 1 verse 11, from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. So, numerous verses in the Old Testament, but for time's sake, I just wanted to show you those two, Isaiah and Malachi. The last book there in the Old Testament says, "For from the rising of the sun, even in the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." Now, I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." Now notice, "And before Him shall be gathered all nations." Then we know that these are Gentile, primarily Gentile nations, and you know that from the reading of the passage here. "But they're gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He's talking about Gentiles here now in the kingdom. "For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him saying, Lord, when saw thee we a hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." What you have here is a picture of the judgment of the nations at the end of the tribulation. Those nations that have blessed Israel, that have assisted Israel, and have helped them through that tribulation will enter into the kingdom. There was a blessing there. Those that do not, the rest of the passage talks about, "I was hungry and you gave me no food," and so forth. And he says down in verse 43, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." Now, to show you the position of the Gentile during the ministry of Christ, go back to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. You see, it's really sometimes it's confusing to people because you'll read certain verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there are Gentiles who are receiving the blessing. There are those that receive healing and so forth. But then you'll read other verses like Matthew chapter 10. He says, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into any Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew 15 is one of those instances of a woman coming to Jesus Christ and begging him to cast out a devil out of her daughter. Look there in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. I tell you what, get also Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Because this is a kind of a parallel account here. Matthew 15, verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now notice his response. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said," now notice these words, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now folks, you just need to think about those words and understand that they mean exactly what they say. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, who was he sent to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. That ain't you. That ain't me. That's not Chattanooga, Tennessee. You know who that is? That's the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know who the house of Israel is? That's Jews. You know who that is? That's descendants of Abraham. That's not Gentiles. He said himself, the letters in red, Jesus spoke it, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, go over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, in verse 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Now, when you look at both verses, you get more information. You know, people always get all bent out of shape because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there will be accounts of the same incident, and they might be a little bit different. Well, I want to tell you something. If me and Doug and John and Hayden all are standing on a street corner and we see a car wreck and they ask us to write down the account, I guarantee you that they're all going to be just alike. We may hear something different, we might see something different, but they will be all of the same event. What's interesting is, right here, we're given some additional information. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And Jesus said up in the verse before that, let the children first be filled. Now, that verse is very important in what we're talking about here today. And I want you to keep that verse in mind. But before we go further, go back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We'll try to piece all this together here in a moment, so just stay with me. Matthew 12. Verse 18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So you see all these verses, like Matthew 15, Mark 7, there's a woman who's a Gentile. She receives the blessing of having the devil cast out of her daughter. Here you see a verse talking about the Gentiles, says in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And yet you see the Lord Jesus Christ, flip back a couple pages to Matthew chapter 10, verse I quoted a moment ago. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus set forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not. Now, why is there this difference? Well, the verse in Mark chapter 7 really is the key to the whole thing. The children must first be filled. Look over, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. You see, God didn't leave the Gentiles out in the cold without hope. But did you notice there in Mark chapter... I tell you, before we go to Matthew 28, look over in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke 7 verse 1. Now when he had ended all of his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Now, folks, these things are not in the Bible just to fill up space. Here you've got Matthew 15, Mark chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, all of these Gentiles, and there's one thing they have in common, and that is that they understand their relationship to the nation Israel. That woman said, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You see, Gentile salvation was dependent upon that Gentile blessing Israel, taking their place of submission to the nation Israel. In this particular case, this fellow was worthy because he built them a synagogue. That's where people get the idea today that we as a nation ought to be blessing Israel, taking care of Israel. Yeah, it was scriptural in time past, but today there is no need to bless Israel. They are not God's people. If you want to bless Israel, what you need to do is preach to a Jew the gospel of Christ so that they can be saved. Because there is no salvation for them today apart from the gospel of the grace of God, because we're today living in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now go over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And we have here what is referred to today as the Great Commission. In Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, notice now, and teach what? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then there would be Gentile salvation there, all nations. But look over in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. After the death, burial, and resurrection. Acts chapter 1. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I know that people interpret that sometime, and they'll say, you know, Chattanooga is Jerusalem, and Hamilton County is Judea, and Tennessee is Samaria. Folks, Chattanooga ain't Jerusalem. Hamilton County is not Judea, and Tennessee is not Samaria. There was a reason that that order was given. These words have meaning. What did Jesus say in Mark chapter 7? The children must first be fed. Well, then where were they to start? Where the children were. Where were they? In Jerusalem. The nation Israel. They're to start with the nation Israel. You see, God's plan, in summary, and let me do this because of time's sake rather than turn to all the verses. God's plan to bring about salvation upon this earth was to use the nation Israel. He said that they were going to be a kingdom of priests. They were to be saved as a nation. They were then to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And John chapter 4 says salvation is of the Jew. The Jew was going to be used to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and those Gentiles could come through the nation Israel to God Almighty and be part of the nation Israel, part of their covenant, part of their promises, and so forth. The problem today is most people want to have the church in the position that will yet be in the future and that was talked about here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and thus the teaching that the church is the bride of Christ and the teaching that we are spiritual Israel. We're not spiritual Israel, folks. We're the church, which is His body. Israel is a separate entity altogether. There was Gentile salvation that was going to come through the nation Israel, but that's not the salvation that was sent to you and I through the Apostle Paul. You see, that salvation, you know, I think the best way to put that would be this, and this just came to me. Not in a light or anything, not a vision. Think about it this way. The Jews, when they went out, they were to preach, after Israel was saved, they were to preach Jewish salvation to the Gentiles. What was that Jewish salvation? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So the Jews went out and preached Jewish salvation to the Gentiles. When Paul got saved, what we're going to look at here in a moment, is that when Paul went out, people say, but wait a minute, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and yet all through his ministry in Acts, he went to the Jew first. Yeah, he did. You know why? He was preaching Gentile salvation to the Jews. The 12 were preaching Jewish salvation to the Gentiles. Paul was preaching Gentile salvation to the Jews. And you'll see that as we look at these scriptures. Look, if you will, over in... We need to look at one of the, well, go to Acts chapter 22. Acts 22. When you get there, go back one chapter to chapter 21. In Acts 21. In verse 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous of the law. Those would be the Jews more than likely that believed the message of Peter and became part of what is talked about in Luke 12 as the little flock. But in verse 21 it says, And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews, now notice the next phrase, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, that you ought not, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Well then, were there some Jews that were among the Gentiles? Yes, there were. In Acts chapter 8, there was this great dispersion. And many Jews left Jerusalem because of the persecution. The disciples remained there for a period of time. But there was a great persecution and they fled. And when Paul is fixed to go back over there, there are thousands of Jews there which believe. They're zealous of the law. They said, but we got a problem, Paul, because we've heard that you're preaching to those Jews that are among the Gentiles that they shouldn't be circumcised and that they shouldn't circumcise their children. When you get over to Acts chapter 22... Acts chapter 22, in verse, yeah, let's see where we need to cut in here for time's sake. Acts 22, verse 21, And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles, verse we started out with this morning, verse 22, And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Why did they get so upset, these Jews get so upset, when Paul said, God sent me to the Gentiles? When all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Old Testament Gentile salvation is prophesied because it was not in the order that it had been promised. And for Gentiles to be saved apart from Israel being saved was just unthinkable to them because the Jews believed that they were God's people, that salvation would come through them. And here a man is, not only is he telling some Jews that are among the Gentiles, you don't need to circumcise your children. He's saying, listen, I'm going directly to the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, God said to me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they wanted to kill him. They desired to kill him. So you've got the Apostle Paul preaching what he identifies in Acts chapter 20 as the gospel of the grace of God. In Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, he said, that gospel is that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So, Gentile salvation was always available, but it was to come through the nation Israel. But think about this. If Gentile salvation was to come through the nation Israel, and according to Romans chapter 11, look over there in Romans chapter 11. In Romans 11, what we find is that Israel is fallen. Romans 11:11, I say then, have they stumbled? They is the nation Israel, if you read earlier in the passage here. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. You see, it's happening just the opposite of how Israel believed it was going to happen. They had always been taught that salvation was going to come to the Gentiles through them. Now, Paul said, it's not going to come through you. As a matter of fact, it's coming in spite of you. It's coming not because of your rise to prominence, but because of your fall. Now, think about this. John said salvation is of the Jew. If there's neither Jew nor Gentile, folks, we're in a world of hurt today if salvation is still of the Jew. John chapter 4. Salvation is not of the Jew today. Salvation is by grace, through faith, based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, and the gospel that proclaims that is that given to the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle of the Gentiles. You see, Paul, preaching to the Gentiles, preaches to the Jew as well, but he's preaching Gentile salvation to those that are among, those Jews that are among the Gentiles. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, now, if salvation was of the Jew, salvation was to come through the nation Israel, a person would have had to take the same attitude of the lady in Matthew chapter 15, the guy over there in Luke chapter 7 that built the synagogue, Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. A Gentile would have had to take the same attitude as those people in order to be saved. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says there to this church at Ephesus, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands. Notice now that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Why were they without Christ? Was it because they were going to the honky-tonks and drinking beer? That's not what it says. It said they were without Christ because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Why would that make you without Christ? He's talking about in time past when salvation was of the Jew. If you weren't allied with Israel, associated with Israel, blessing Israel, there was no salvation for you. But when you came like that woman in Matthew 15 and says, "Truth, Lord, I understand I'm a dog, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table," then you could be part. But these at Ephesus, they weren't doing that. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. They had no hope and without God in the world. And folks, that is a picture of you and I. And thank God for verse 13, those first two words, "but now." You see, in time past, you're without hope. The only hope a Gentile had of being saved back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the only hope a Gentile had of being saved in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 was to come through the nation Israel. "But now, in Christ Jesus, you sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You see, today, we're living in a marvelous, glorious, wonderful, gracious time when God is dealing with men not on the basis of your heritage, not on the basis of Jew or Gentile, not on the basis of blessing Israel or not blessing Israel. He's dealing with you on the basis of the fact that Jesus Christ hung on a cross and died for our sins, paid for every one of them. And the Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. Colossians 2:13 says He's forgiven you all trespasses. Listen, the difference, folks, is the message. Peter, James, and John preaching that Jewish message to a Gentile. And that Gentile repents and is baptized and believes that kingdom message, and they become part of that body, part of that group, part of that church, if you will, that was added to there in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But there were an awful lot of people that weren't going to bless Israel. They weren't going to take the same attitude that woman did in Matthew 15. They were like these Ephesians. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers to covenant's promise. As a matter of fact, if you go back and read in Acts chapter 19, you'll find out that these Ephesians were worshiping in the temple of Diana. They were idol worshipers. God saved them, and He saved them by His grace. And that's why they said up in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, that's why it's so hard for me to understand why people want to resist the idea that God changed His program. I'm so glad He did. I'm so glad that I'm living in the dispensation of the grace of God, when salvation is a free gift simply by believing and trusting in what Jesus Christ did. I'm glad it has nothing to do with blessing Israel, water baptism, repentance, turning over a new leaf, walking down the aisle, confessing your sins, joining the church. It has nothing to do with that. It has only to do with believing the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and rose again the third day. That ought to make you want to shout. That's the grace of God, folks. That's the message that came through Paul, our apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, who wrote Romans through Philemon by inspiration of God, so that we might have a message of salvation. People like you and I, people who deserved hell, people who deserved the wrath of God, and would have gotten the wrath of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross for our sins. That mystery program given to the apostle Paul, never made known before, as he says in Ephesians 3 verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, and how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed in His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ." How? By the gospel. Not by blessing Israel. Not by becoming part of Israel. By the gospel. And in Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You see, it would have been a tremendous act of love, and it was, for God to give himself for his chosen people. But folks, the mystery was that that death, burial, and resurrection was extended to all people. The enemy, the sinner, the one who hated God, he hung on that cross and died for. The person today who will turn his back and say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Christ, I don't believe in what he did there. He died for him. He died for all. And God was in him, reconciling the world unto himself. Today is Valentine's Day. You want a love story? That's the one. The greatest of all. Greater love hath no man than this. He would lay down his life for his friends, but we weren't his friends. The greater love is he laid down his life for his enemies, according to Romans chapter 5. And that included you and me. Don't reject that love. Don't reject that grace. Don't reject that message. Go out from here determined to tell somebody this week how that Christ died for them, paid for all their sins, became everything bad that they were so that they don't have to experience the wrath and eternal hellfire. Would you stand with me for prayer?